Dear friends in Christ, on this most holy night, when our Savior Jesus Christ passed from death to life, we gather with all the church throughout the world to vigil and to prayer. This is the Passover of Jesus Christ. Through light and word, we celebrate the new life that Christ shares with us. Please follow me as we proceed to your pews and to the front of the church. Christ. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Rejoice, all creation. Let the heavenly chorus sing. Jesus Christ, our light, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation. Rejoice, O earth, in shining splendor. The light of Christ will warm our night. Christ has conquered. Glory fills you. Darkness will vanish forever. Rejoice, O Church of God. Exult in glory. The risen Savior shines upon you. Let this place resound with joy, echoing the mighty song of all God's people. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is truly right that with our full hearts and minds and voices, we should praise you, eternal God, and your firstborn, our Savior Jesus Christ. For Christ is the true Passover Lamb, who at this feast has set your faithful people free. This night, this is the night when all who believe in Christ are delivered from gloom and restored to grace and grow together in the fullness of life. This is the night when Jesus Christ broke the chains of death and rose triumphant from the grave. Night truly blessed when heaven is wedded to earth and we are reconciled with God. Therefore, holy God, in the joy of this night, accept our evening sacrifice of praise, your church's solemn offering. Accept these Easter candles, flames divided but undimmed, a pillar of fire that glows to your honor, O God. Let them mingle with the lights of heaven and continue burning to lighten the darkness of this night. Star, find this flame still burning among us. Christ is that morning star who rises from the dead. Christ is now alive and glorified with you forever and ever. Amen. We gather the candles and we ask that the thank you. You may be seated. Can you take mine? First day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they are or have laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there. But he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rather folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that Christ must rise from the dead. Then the other disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing Jesus to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni?" Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and he had said these things to her. Here ends the reading of our gospel. This gospel lesson is also the basis for our sermon this evening. The lights, if we could, just up a hair. Bigger hair. It was just yesterday that many of us assembled here to commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. It was a story which was told as we witnessed, but unlike the women who had been there, who were coming to the tomb this day, very early in the morning, for tomorrow morning, as that day breaks in a different way at sunrise in the Jewish calendar. Amidst the certainty of death, Roman executioners were efficient and very effective. No one escaped their torturous death. The women who had gone to Christ's tomb this day and the disciples remembered what Jesus had done and what had happened to Jesus upon the cross. They remembered the scourging. They remembered the trial. They remembered Jesus carrying his cross through the street and the Via Dolorosa. And they remembered Jesus from the cross praying for those who had put him there. They remembered the darkness that covered the earth for some 3 hours. They remembered Jesus taking his last breaths, and his last words prior to that were, My Lord and my God, it is finished." And he breathed his last. They also remembered the Roman soldier who had executed Christ, taking his spear and casting it and thrusting it up into the side of Jesus to make certain that Christ really was dead. They were there. They remembered what they'd seen. They witnessed also the lifeless, limp body of Jesus being taken down from that cross. They saw the place where Jesus and his body was going to be placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And to this place they returned the next morning, Easter morning, to finish wrapping Jesus' body with nearly some 75 to 100 pounds of spices and perfume. The women, including Mary Magdalene, came to the tomb certain of the sadness that they would see. I love the transparency of the Gospels. The accounts of our Lord's death, of his crucifixion, but also of his resurrection. Not only are the first witnesses to the tomb women, but you have to understand the culture of the day, because the testimony of a woman was discounted, unreliable, and unacceptable in the culture of Jesus' time. Yet, it was the Lord's choice first to appear to the women, to carry the truth of the gospel to the entire world, that he had risen from the dead. It was this one named Mary, Mary Magdalene, who came to the tomb and actually got there a little bit in front of the other women. And when she came, my friends, she did not come to have breakfast with Jesus, but rather to help in preparing his final burial. We also find out that she wondered, as did the other women, who and how that sizable stone would be moved so that they could go in and finish the burial. Now that stone was some 2.5 tons, some scholars believe. That's bigger than a Buick with no wheels. A full-size Buick. About 5,000 pounds. And the tomb was also guarded, you remember, by Roman centurions and soldiers whose life depended upon no one disturbing this tomb. The first day of the week, we read that Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had already been taken away from the tomb. So she was in the darkness. She saw that it had been taken away, and she went and ran to Simon Peter and the other disciples and the one whom Jesus loved, John, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." She reported and thought to herself that even in death, those who had crucified him were so cruel because they had now taken away his body. Peter went out to the other disciple, John, and as they were going toward the tomb, both of them were running together. But the other disciple, John, outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping in to look, he saw the linen cloths lying there. You know, the burial cloths and the facial cloth. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, and following him, and he went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the other cloths, but rather nicely and neatly folded up by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, John, also went in. He saw and believed. He believed that Mary Magdalene's report that they had taken the Lord's body was true and was accurate. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. This account, my friends, seems to be a story that is fixed on death. This story seems to be, this was the final end. They've now stolen the body of Jesus. They've put it somewhere else. We don't know where he's at. And the disciples, who had followed Jesus for nearly 3 years and had pinned all their hopes, who had also heard and seen the death of Christ, eyewitnessed many of the events that the women had seen as well, simply went back to their homes. There's no more here. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped and looked back into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the feet and one at the head. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "I've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've placed him." "Why?" they asked. Are you looking for the living one among the dead? See? As they invite her to come closer. He is risen, just as he said. He is not here, they told in the other Gospels. Having said this, Mary turned around and she saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Has this ever bothered you? Why, Mary, who had come and who had known the Lord personally, who had anointed the feet of Jesus, would now not recognize him? Last week, I believe this is easily explained. As I was at the Easter vigil, the Easter walk with Jesus, it was kind of earlier in the morning, and I was standing in the loggia hallway, you know, down here. And as I looked towards the parking lot, it was really bright, and the sun was filtering and coming in. And then I saw this great big shadow of a man walking from the parking lot down the hallway of the loggia. And I couldn't recognize who it was until I saw Bob Trapp, his signature ball cap. And the sheer size of this man told me it was Bob. But I didn't recognize some of the rest of you who'd walked down that same hallway either when I looked to see. I couldn't see Bob's face or the color of his clothes. He looked like he was in the witness protection program. He was a silhouette. And it was only because of his signature ball cap that I'd said that I could recognize him. And then I certainly heard his voice. It's the same way with Mary. From a darkened tomb, she looks towards the opening of that tomb and sees a silhouette. She mightily just simply asked because she couldn't make out who it was. And she supposed that it was the gardener who was coming to check on everything. Woman, why are you weeping? He asked. Whom are you seeking? And she supposed him to be the gardener and said, if you've carried him away, let me know, I'll take him. But Jesus said to her, Mary. He turned to him in Aramaic and says, Rabboni. She recognized the voice. She, at hearing the voice of Jesus, calling out her name. She knew that it was her Lord, that he was alive. Doesn't it remind you and me, the verse where Jesus says, my sheep know me. They know my voice, and they follow me. I hope and I pray that as we look at the silhouettes of that which we don't totally understand and see, as we think of a Savior that sometimes seems far away, we hear his voice. Because he's really here with us. And he comes to us in many different ways, including in Holy Communion and in baptism, in the Word of the Lord, as he comes to our life. Do we hear his voice? And are we ready and are we willing to follow him? I hope we are. And I hope in a way we're kind of like Mary. Mary was so excited she couldn't contain herself. Jesus, who was crucified, the one who had died, the one whom she had come to bury, was alive. He was breathing and he was talking to her. She was so overjoyed with emotion that she latched herself unto Jesus. It didn't make sense how Jesus was now alive, but she saw that he was. Her faith had outpaced the facts of yesterday. She didn't know, but she knew she didn't want to let this moment go. She clung to Christ. And Jesus simply said to her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. There's a lot of division about why Jesus would say this. It almost sounds stern and offish. But what if it's really a simple explanation spoken out of love, where Jesus is simply telling Mary that he was going to be around for a while, that there would be other opportunities, other moments, that he wasn't going to disappear, that he was still alive, that he was not going to fade away, that they would have time before he ascended to the Father. Jesus told her, "But now go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to God and your my God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord," and that he'd send these things to her. As Jesus told Mary to go and to tell his disciples, I want to ask you this night, are you willing, with haste, with this urgent message from an empty tomb, words spoken by angels and our Lord himself, that Jesus is risen? He's risen indeed. He who was dead is now alive. Are you eagerly awaiting and wanting to share this wondrous message with someone right now that you know needs to desperately hear it? I hope and I pray that you have someone in mind. May I be so bold as to ask, will you invite him to come and hear the rest of the story tomorrow and the weeks that follow? Because Jesus is risen. He is alive, just as he said. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, may he bless you this night and all the days of your life. Amen. O Lord, we celebrate that you are risen, risen indeed, that you have victoriously rose from death to life, that your victory is also our victory, because you died to pay for our sins upon the cross. They are paid in full. It is indeed finished. Through your death, through your burial, and now your resurrection,
We celebrate this wondrous good news, for God has done exactly what He promised, paying for the sins of the world and promising us the victory over death and the grave, the devil, and damnation. O Lord, we give You thanks. Help each of us to live a life worthy of the calling to which You've called us. Help us to share this wondrous good news with others so that they too might believe in You as their Lord and their Savior. Help us, like Mary, to run and to tell, to show what You, O Lord, have done. Help us to say, we've seen the Lord. In Your name we pray this. Amen. Now we pray, O Lord, that prayer which You taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy word done. Bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to affirm your commitment to Christ and your rejection of all that is evil. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the living Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? In the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Those who are baptized are called to worship and serve God. From the beginning, believers have continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. Will you commit yourself to this life? I will, with God's help. Will you forgive others as you are forgiven? I will, with God's help. Will you seek to love your neighbor as yourself and strive for peace and justice? I will, with God's help. Will you accept the cost of following Jesus Christ in your daily life and work? I will, with God's help. With the whole church, will you proclaim by word and action the good news of God in Christ? Let us give thanks to God, to offer thanks and praise. We thank You, God, for Your love in all creation, especially for Your gift of water to sustain, refresh, and cleanse all life. We thank You, the waters of baptism, and cleanse us, renew us by Your Spirit, and raise us to new life. In the new covenant, we are made members of Your church and share in Your eternal kingdom. We pray that all who have passed through the waters of baptism may continue forever in the risen life of Christ. Through Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all praise and thanks be Yours, Redeemer God, now and forever. Amen. God, our Creator, the rock of our salvation, we thank You for our new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for our fellowship in the household of faith with all those who have been baptized in Your name. Keep us faithful to the calling of our baptism now and forever. Amen. The risen Christ is in our midst. So with Christ we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go now in love and serve the Lord. Go in peace. Alleluia. Alleluia.
We'd like to welcome you. It seems like it's been almost a full week that we haven't been able to greet one another, and with all the somberness of the season we were going through. But we now can sing Alleluia and several other places and be in our worship services, be able to sing the praises of a victorious Christ, no longer as the one who suffered and died, but also as the one who has suffered and died and rose from the dead. So we celebrate those things, and I hope that you'll be able to welcome one another as you leave this evening. But I'd like to have a couple of announcements. Just a reminder, you know, as we think about our Christian faith, what is it that we could do? Could we sharpen that? Are there things that we could do to learn more about God and His Word and how to pray? We're going to be having a new class called Foundations. And I'd like to remind you of that coming April 18th on a Wednesday evening. It'll begin at 7 if you want to come a little earlier. We can have a little fellowship before that. But from 7 until 8:30, beginning April 18th, we're going to be learning some of the simple things about how to study your Bible. And also the six main teachings that are found in the Bible. And so we hope you'll be a part of that. but we're also going to learn how to witness and share our faith. So I'd love to invite each and every one of you, and I hope you'll be able to join us for that. Also, if you have a friend you really think should be there, please invite them. April 18th, Wednesday evening, and it will be something that we're going to start off this with that first class beginning on April 18th. Tomorrow, we have Easter sunrise worship at 6:30. And then we're going to have Easter festival services at 8, 9:30, and 11. And I'd also like to say the Trinity annual Easter pancake breakfast is going to be held from 7 o'clock to 10:30 tomorrow. So we hope that you'll be here for that and enjoy one or more of our services tomorrow as we celebrate again the Lord's resurrection. God's richest blessing. And happy Easter. Amen.